We're at the Nebraska Cattlemen's Meeting in Kearney, their annual meeting, and we're going to talk with Galen Erickson with the University of Nebraska, the Nebraska Cattle Industry Professor of Animal Science. Galen, you've been doing research for years, I understand, on beta agonists, and of course this has become a much hotter topic here in the last 6 months with the situation with Zilmax. So talk a little bit about the research you've done and how that's changed here more recently.
Well, we've done numerous studies over the years with both of the FDA-approved beta agonists that are available. And so we've got thousands of head that we've had on different studies, and those are controlled cohort studies where we bring in sources of cattle, we randomly assign them to these different treatments, and those are the best studies to compare because it's the same source of cattle, same time of year, et cetera. And so we've done performance and carcass characteristics type research with beta agonists really since their approval, and some even before they were approved. So we've had some experience with it and also some commercial experience with it.
So you mentioned there's three main areas that you look at.
Well, the criticisms today and the concerns that have been raised, particularly on feeding Zilmax, have been three things. One is increased death loss. Two, increased incidence of lameness or cattle movement challenges. And the third is maybe more susceptibility to heat stress. So we've gone back and we've looked at the data that have been done here and elsewhere. And at least during the feeding phase of being fed Zilmax, death loss is on 65,000 head of cattle that have been fed it or not is identical between those two treatments, which tells me that there's not a lot of evidence that's causing a problem for us in terms of death loss. Lameness is a little bit harder to study. We've not seen any increased incidence of lameness in the feedlot phase. And we put even pedometers on cattle and looked at steps and amount of time lying and standing. And the data don't suggest there's any challenges at the feedlot. Now, to be fair, this issue was raised primarily from people seeing things more on the packing side and increased lameness in the packing plant, which we would not have data from our experiments to really evaluate. But I think it calls into question, is there a cause and effect? And I think the burden of proof is to figure out if it truly causes lameness issue. And then lastly, the heat stress area. We have some plans to study that further this coming summer. But again, we don't see that that's a big issue, but I think it's worth studying.
So you're saying it's not showing up in feedlots. Is it something that might be a transportation issue then, or are you able to look at that?
Well, I think that there's numerous people that are investigating this now, and some who are more trained in welfare and transport issues. But yeah, I think it does indicate that if there is a problem, and if that is caused by feeding Zilmax, it is probably related some to how we're either handling or housing these cattle and stressing them some prior to slaughter. Now, I have a lot of ifs there, and so I think we have to be sure, and we should have been sure before we make any statements, because data really can prove or disprove these theories. And so I'd like to wait to see more of those data, but it does appear that if we do have a lameness problem, then I think that we should be investigating how we're transporting and how we're handling cattle through the whole phase all the way until slaughter.
So the loss of Zilmax, this has been pretty significant for the feeding industry, right?
Yeah, I think, first off, it's an FDA-approved product, fed the last 20 days of the feeding period, requires a three-day withdrawal. And it increases carcass weight by about 33 pounds. And it's been economical for our feedlots that chose to use that product and that can manage the feeding and handling of it. So my biggest concern is without a lot of evidence, now it's been pulled based on market, not because it's not approved. And so I think that concerns me some that it took away a choice that producers could have that was, frankly, an economical feed additive to be using. Now, there is the alternative. There's another beta agonist that's approved, so you have other choices. But I think we should be careful, because I think especially given the economics that we've been facing on the feeding side of the beef industry, we need all the help we can get.